Hello again, friends, and welcome to another hour around the old parlor radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and since I did four Christmas-themed shows in December, I decided that Easter deserved at least two shows. To get us into the Easter season, I have selected a couple of Easter-themed comedies for this week. The first program I'm featuring is The Great Gildersleeve, one of radio's comedic greats. The series started as a spin-off of Fibber McGee and Molly and ran from August 31, 1941 to March 21, 1957 on NBC. The program revolves around the comedic antics of bachelor Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. This episode, titled Easter Sunrise Service, is from Wednesday, April 1, 1953. Enjoy.
The Kraft Foods Company presents its traditional Easter program with Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, in the town of Summerfield, it's the day before Easter, and the Great Gildersleeve's family is making elaborate preparations for the occasion. Marjorie has selected a new Easter outfit, Leroy has a new suit, and they've resolved to do something different this year, attend the Easter sunrise service. Of course, the Great Gildersleeve hasn't heard about these early morning plans.
It's something I've always wanted to do, Leroy.
Yeah, it'll be keen. Boy, I can't wait to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Let's go talk to Unky.
Unky! Pamp, where are you?
In the den, children.
Are we interrupting anything?
No, not at all. Just glancing through the paper. Looking for an Easter gift for Grace and Leela.
Oh?
Yeah, I guess I could get them some of these 2-pound chocolate Easter eggs. They're not too expensive.
Well, if you want to be cheap, why don't you get them an Easter rabbit and let him lay the eggs?
Leroy, I'm not trying to be cheap. I'm just trying to hold down expenses. Easter's beginning to cost as much as Christmas.
Speaking of Christmas, do you know what I want next time?
Leroy, please. Now then, what's the purpose of this delegation?
Well, Unky, we have the most marvelous idea. Tomorrow, we're going to the sunrise service.
Yeah, we're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock? Well, have a good time.
Unky!
Just leave quietly and come home quietly.
You mean you don't want to get up at 4 o'clock?
No.
But, Unky, the sunrise will be beautiful.
Hey, Marjorie, I've seen the sunrise. I worked my way through college delivering milk. Yeah, I'm going to the 11 o'clock service the way I always do. And I'll need my sleep, so I'll be alert when I pass the collection plate. I don't want to drop it again.
Well, of course, I can drive Leroy and Bertie to the service, but I wish you'd come along.
Oh, is Bertie going?
She's singing in the choir. 100 voices, Unc.
Well, I would like to hear Bertie sing. But if there are 99 other voices, I wouldn't hear much of Bertie anyway.
Hey, Bertie!
Yeah, Leroy?
Unc doesn't want to hear you sing.
He don't.
No, it isn't that, Bertie. But I intend going to the 11 o'clock service tomorrow. Had my day all planned. Very busy day.
We all have a very busy day ahead, Unky.
Yeah.
I know Bertie's gonna be busy. Bertie's gonna sing like an angel at sunrise, then she's gonna fly home and bake the ham.
You ought to see Bertie's choir robe, Unc.
Really?
Oh, it'll be a beautiful spectacle, Unky. Cedar Hill will be banked with flowers.
Yes, I read about that.
Well, I've been there every year, and it's worth it just to hear those trumpets when the sun comes up.
It is, Bertie.
Oh, Easter's such a thrilling day. And Unky, you'll see all the beautiful women in their new spring dresses.
Well, if you children insist.
Hello, boy, Unc.
Glad you changed your mind, Miss Gildersleeve.
Well, I didn't exactly change my mind. I've been considering going for some time. But I wanted to be sure all of you were as willing to get up at 4 o'clock as I am.
Oh, brother.
Say, look at Peavy's window. All decorated for Easter. Eee, that rabbit holding the talcum powder looks just like Judge Hooker. Yeah, I think I'll go in. I still don't have gifts for the girls. Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
Peavy, what would make nice Easter gifts for Grace and Leela?
Well, Easter is usually a little chilly. How about giving them a hot water bottle? One for each, of course.
No, Peavy.
How about some perfume?
Perfume?
Women like to dress up for Easter, and a good perfume like this is the crowning touch.
Yeah, how much is it, Peavy?
$12 an ounce. That's the crowning touch.
Well, what the heck? Wrap up two bottles. It's Easter.
Very well. Planning a big day, are you?
Yes, indeed. Peavy, guess what important official is getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for the sunrise service?
The Reverend Mr. McNair? Hey.
Well, he's got to be there. I'm thinking about a fellow who's just volunteering.
You don't say.
Yeah, taking the little family. Then I'm passing the collection plate at the 11 o'clock service, too.
Well, good for you. I went to both services one Easter.
Is that so?
I didn't sleep the night before, not wanting to miss the sunrise service. And by 11 o'clock, my eyes were so red, I wore dark glasses at church.
You did?
And you know what the minister did? He lectured me for staying out all night.
Oh, my goodness.
But Mrs. Peavy and I always enjoy the sunrise services. Of course, it's usually a little foggy at that hour.
Well, I haven't been up at that hour since I was an air raid warden.
Well, you better take a flashlight. There's a tendency to bump into trees.
Oh?
If you're going to show off a new suit, it's well to take a cushion along.
Peavy, I'm not the sort of person who just goes somewhere to show off. I'm wearing my old blue serge.
Yeah, you can't hurt that.
Yes, yes.
It's quite a climb up Cedar Hill, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy, are you trying to discourage me?
Oh, my, no. I consider it quite a rewarding experience. In fact, Mrs. Peavy and I would be going this year if she could stand the trek again.
Yeah, are you settling for the 11 o'clock service, are you, Peavy?
Yeah, but between you and me and the gatepost, I'd rather get up at 4 o'clock and go with you than go to the 11 o'clock with Mrs. Peavy.
I don't follow you.
She insists on wearing her new Easter bonnet.
Well, what's the matter with it, Peavy? That bad, huh?
Worse, it's one of those dove-on-the-nest affairs.
Oh?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I don't mind having people point at Mrs. Peavy's hat, but when bird dogs start pointing, it...
Peavy, it can't be that bad.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, Gildersleeve, you're ready for the sunrise service. Yeah, I wonder if I will need this flashlight Phoebe sold me. Who's that? Oh, the judge.
Here I am, Diogenes.
Judge, what do you mean, Diogenes?
With that flashlight, you must be looking for an honest man, and here I am.
All right, Judge.
Hop in, Gildy. I'll take you home.
Oh, thanks, Horace. That's where I'm headed.
Gildy, why are you carrying a flashlight in the middle of the day?
Well, I'll need it in the morning. I'm getting up at 4 o'clock.
You're going to the sunrise service?
You bet. Then I'm going to the 11 o'clock service.
Well, you must have a new suit you want to display.
Judge, you're as bad as Petey. I'm not going to church just to show off my clothes. Besides, I don't have a new suit to show off.
I see. Here comes a bump, Gildy.
What bumped me in the back of the head?
That's my canteen.
Canteen? What is all this junk in the back of your car?
Thermos bottles, blankets, folding chairs, and a buffalo robe.
Judge, where are you going? On a safari?
I'm taking Miss Matterhorn to the sunrise service.
Will you need all this equipment?
Well, you have to prepare for it. You're not just taking a flashlight, are you?
Well, I...
And besides what I have in the car, Miss Matterhorn is packing the lunch basket.
A lunch basket?
The road to Cedar Hill is narrow, Gildy, and with several hundred cars up there, it takes hours to get home. Miss Matterhorn and I enjoy the service, then spread our lunch and listen to the singing of birds and the clash of bumpers.
That 11 o'clock service looks better and better.
thought it was all settled that you'd go.
No, Marjorie, they can conduct the sunrise service without me. You, Leroy, and Bertie, go and enjoy yourselves.
Well, I don't know why you don't go.
My dear, I might not get back in time to pass the plate at the regular service. Judge says traffic's pretty heavy out there.
Unky, you've just cooled off on the idea.
Well, I'll admit I'm not as keen about it as I was this morning.
Why?
Well, Peavy and the judge nettled me. They accused me of going just to show off my new Easter suit.
But you don't have a new Easter suit. You just don't want to miss out on your sleep, that's all.
That has nothing to do with it. I'm staying home as a matter of principle.
All right, Unky, if that's your final decision.
That's my final decision.
I'll get it!
All right, Bertie.
Hello, Bertie.
Good afternoon, Miss Soto. Come in.
Thank you.
Well, it's Grace.
Hello, Throckmorton. Marjorie.
Hello, Miss Tuttle.
Grace, I was about to come over and pay you a visit.
Really?
I have a little Easter gift for you.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you, but why don't you give it to me early tomorrow morning?
Early tomorrow morning?
Leroy told me you're all going to the sunrise service.
He did? Well...
Would it be terrible of me if I invited myself to go along?
Oh, why, Leroy, Bertie, and I'll be delighted to have you go with us.
Grace, I had no idea you planned to go to the service.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. Marjorie, you should see my Easter suit.
Oh, I want to.
It's blue pastel file with PK collar cuffs and gloves to match.
Oh, it sounds darling.
Yeah, it sounds great. What the heck is file?
And that isn't all. I have matching linen shoes and hat with file trim.
Oh, how wonderful.
Oh, brother.
Isn't Easter thrilling? What are you wearing, Marjorie?
Well, I have the cutest linen dress with a full skirt and a fitted top, and it has eyelet trim.
Very smart.
Yeah, I can see this is no conversation for a man.
Oh, Throckmorton, here we are talking about our new outfits and not letting you get a word in.
Well?
I know you're going to be so handsome in your new Easter suit.
Handsome? Well, thank you.
I like to see men dress up. You know, people don't look just at the pretty girls. I hope you get a powder blue pinstripe. I just love them. Well, I must go. See you bright and early in the morning, Friday.
Yes, indeed, Grace. Bright and early.
Bye-bye, Marjorie.
Bye, Miss Tuttle. Unky, I thought you decided not to go to the service.
You going after all, Mr. Gildersleeve?
And why shouldn't I go?
Miss Tuttle talking me into it, Miss Marjorie.
She had nothing to do with it.
No.
I thought you weren't going because of what the judge and Mr. Peavy thought.
Why should I worry about what the judge and Peavy think? I'll put on my new suit and go.
You don't have a new suit.
Well, I'll get one.
A powder blue pinstripe?
Well, I had that in mind anyway before Grace mentioned it.
Yes.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. How do you like your eggs? Scrambled, baked, poached, in an omelet? Now there's a beauty of an egg dish, an omelet, fluffy and light and golden brown. And for the most delicious omelet you ever tasted, try this popular cheese version you make with Velveeta, Kraft's smooth melting pasteurized processed cheese food. Start by melting a half pound of Velveeta in the top of your double boiler. Then stir in a quarter of a cup of milk and keep stirring till this mixture is smooth. It'll just take a minute or two because Velveeta melts so easily, so perfectly. Then add the Velveeta mixture to four seasoned egg yolks and finish making the omelet as you usually do. When it's ready to serve, spread it with your favorite jelly. And, Mom, is it a wonderful main dish. It's extra good tasting because with every bite you'll enjoy Velveeta's fine, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And even more important, Velveeta makes this omelet especially nourishing. 2 ounces of Velveeta, just 2 ounces, the amount you get in a single serving of this Velveeta omelet, give you more of milk's vital food values than a big 8-ounce glass of milk. And you know how important those food values are to your family's good health. Cook with Velveeta often. Let this fine cheese food give you more delicious, more nourishing meals. Get a 2-pound loaf of Velveeta tomorrow. Just be sure you get genuine Velveeta. It's the finest quality cheese food you can buy, and it's made only by Kraft. Well, the Great Gildersleeve had decided not to attend the Easter sunrise service with his little family when one of his girlfriends, Grace Tuttle, came over and mentioned how handsome he'd look in his new suit. Of course, the great man didn't have a new suit, but that was 2 hours ago.
Isn't Unky home yet, Bertie?
Not yet, Miss Marjorie. He's probably having trouble finding a suit.
Well, he shouldn't have waited till the afternoon before Easter.
No, ma'am. I never saw a man change his mind so fast.
Neither did I, Bertie.
First he said he wasn't going, then he said he was. Then he said he wasn't because he's afraid somebody'd think he was showing off a new suit which he bought, which he wasn't because he didn't.
That's Unky.
Then he said he was because Miss Tuttle thought he'd look handsome in a new suit which he didn't have, but which he would if he had it. So I hope he gets it.
So do I, Bertie.
Unky!
I don't want to be seen like this, Bertie.
Oh, never mind, it's Miss Gilkley.
Yeah, thanks, Bertie.
What you got in the box, Miss Gilkley? Your new suit?
Yeah, that's right.
Unky, why'd you ring the doorbell?
Well, seems when I tried on my new suit, I left the keys in it. I was excited, I guess.
Well, open the box, Unky. Let's see what you picked out.
Yeah, all right. If I can get rid of some of this wrapping twine.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Maybe I can help you, Unky.
What's going on?
I sure am anxious to see that.
So am I, but what am I anxious to see? What's in there?
Just keep your shirt on, Leroy.
Did you get the one with the stripe?
Yeah, white stripe.
A white stripe? What's in there, a polecat?
Leroy, don't be so silly.
I'm not. I'm just trying to find out something.
Yeah, I can't untie this knot. Where's my penknife?
Mr. Gilsleeve, how'd you get it so fast?
Yeah, I practically had to grab it and run.
Run with what?
It still has to be let out, Bertie.
Well, take the lid off and let it out. Let's see what's in there.
Yeah, there it is. Isn't that a beauty?
Oh, it's beautiful, Unky.
Ain't that something?
Oh, for corn's sake. Nothing but a suit.
My Easter suit, Leroy.
I thought you weren't going to buy an Easter suit.
Well, Marjorie, how do you like this necktie I bought to go with it?
Well, it's very striking, Unky.
It should be with those baseball bats on it.
Leroy, they're not baseball bats. It's just a modern design.
And he got the powder blue suit.
You don't think he'd come home with anything else after what Miss Tuttle said, did you?
Oh, so that's why you bought a suit. You want Miss Tuttle to see you in it.
Leroy, that isn't it at all. There'll be hundreds of other people who'll see me in it, too. Yeah, I mean, Bertie, you suppose you can give me a hand with a few alterations? The tailor couldn't get it ready today.
Yes, sir. Of course, it's a little late, and I got to take a hymn in my choir robe.
Well, I guess I am upsetting things a little.
If we're going to get up at 4 o'clock, we should be getting to bed soon.
Yeah, I got a lot of things to do.
Well, so have I, but I'll help you with Unky's suit, Bertie.
Yes, ma'am.
No, let's not make a big thing of this. What we need is a little organization, and I'll be the organizer.
Sure.
We all have things to do, so let's do them. Bertie, you go do the things you have to do.
Yes, sir.
Marjorie, you and Leroy get the things done that you have to do.
All right, Unky.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to set the alarm for 4 o'clock and go to bed.
What a character.
Leroy, there'll be a lot of things to do in the morning, and I'll be up bright and early doing them. How's the rest?
It's 4 o'clock. You said you were going to get up and start doing things.
Yeah. First thing I'm going to do is turn off this alarm and go back to sleep. Where is the darn thing?
Look out, you're pushing it off the table.
You? My goodness. Make it stop. Step on the thing, Leroy. Do something.
It's hiding from me under the bed. I got it.
Oh. Thank you, my boy. Good night.
Sunrise service, remember?
Sunrise. Oh, yes. Up, everybody. Rise and shine. Marjorie, Bertie, Leroy, up.
Are you kidding? Everybody's up but you.
Hey.
Don't just sit there in bed shouting. Rise and shine. Unc, how much further is it?
Can be far. The way the traffic is slowing down, Leroy.
Such a winding road.
Yeah. A little rough, too. Grace, I hope your Easter outfit isn't getting rumpled. It's so beautiful.
Oh, I'm fine.
You look lovely.
How can you tell? It's dark.
Now, Leroy. Marjorie, how are you and Bertie doing?
All right, Uncle. I just hope Bertie isn't going to be late to join the choir.
Oh, don't worry about Bertie.
Oh, we'll make it.
We'd be there now if Hunk hadn't spent 10 minutes tying his tie.
Well, Leroy, I had to get it right. This is Easter, you know.
Are you stopping, Unky?
This is as far as we can go, Marjorie. Cars are all parked ahead of us.
Well, let's get out and start hiking.
Unky, aren't we awfully far away?
No, my dear, I'll get you there. Just follow me. I know a shortcut.
We got plenty of time. There's no sign of no sunrise yet.
I can't see a thing in this fog.
Hey, Unc, where's your flashlight?
Flashlight? Well, last night I put it right where I could lay my hands on it this morning.
And you don't know where you put it?
Yes, I do. It's right on the dresser at home. Come on, everybody. Follow me.
Gosh, we haven't seen anybody since we left the car.
Well, Leroy, not many people know about this shortcut, I guess.
Unky, do you know where you're taking us?
Of course I do. I think. Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is the top of the hill. Right here.
This is the top of a hill? For what hill?
This don't look like Cedar Hill to me.
Well, we came up the back way, Bertie. Oh,
certainly did. What a climb.
Where is everybody, Unky?
Well...
Hey, the fog's lifting a little.
Oh, yes, you can see up here.
Look, there's the choir and everybody.
Where?
Across the ravine on the other hill. Half a mile away.
Oh, fine.
Uncle Mort, you and your shortcuts.
I'm afraid Bertie will never make it in time to sing with the choir.
Well, I'm sorry, Bertie. I'm very sorry.
Oh, they'll get along without Bertie.
We'll just have to watch things from here. Hey, there's a lot of moving around. What are they getting ready to do?
They're going to have a pageant, Leroy, telling the story of Easter.
Yeah?
Well, here we are, all dressed up, and we can't be with the crowd. What an Easter.
Well, Mr. Gillsleeve, there was only a few on hand for the first Easter when they saw the rock was rolled away.
Well, that's right, Bertie. We shouldn't forget that. I guess nobody there put much importance on fine clothes.
I guess they didn't.
Listen. They're playing music.
They're getting ready to sing about the crucifixion.
Oh, Bertie, you were going to sing that.
Yes, ma'am.
Bertie, will you sing it for us?
Yeah, we'd like to hear it, Bertie. Won't you?
I'd like to.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
How beautiful.
Yes. We got lost, but we found the true spirit of Easter.
Look, Unc. The sun's coming up.
It's a new day.
Well, that's the meaning of Easter. A new day. And new hope for the world.
Gildersleeve will be with us in just 30 seconds. How nourishing can a sandwich be? That's easy. A sandwich made with Velveeta, Kraft's famous pasteurized processed cheese food, gives you more of milk's vital values than a big 8-ounce glass of milk. Imagine more high-quality protein, more calcium, more phosphorus, riboflavin, and vitamin A. Let your family enjoy nourishing, delicious Velveeta sandwiches often. Remember, Velveeta is the cheese food that's digestible as milk itself. The cheese food of top quality, made only by Kraft.
This is Gildersleeve again. Thanks to Bertie and the children, our little journey to the mountaintop for the Easter sunrise was a very wonderful experience. I hope that for each one of you, this Easter will bring renewed faith in the promise he gave to all of us. Renewed strength to follow his light through these days when the forces of darkness endeavor to confuse our path. Thank you all. Bertie, your song was lovely.
Thank you, Mr. Gilfie.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The Kraft Food Company's traditional Easter program was written by John Elliott and Andy White and is partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Joe Enos, Mary Shipp, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Tonight, join Groucho Marx for You Bet Your Life on NBC.
I hope you enjoyed the comedic styling of The Great Gildersleeve. That episode, titled Easter Sunrise Service, was from Wednesday evening, April 1st, 1953, on NBC. Our next series is one you're likely very familiar with. Armis Brooks ran from July 19, 1948 to July 7, 1957 on CBS and starred Eve Arden as Madison High English teacher Miss Connie Brooks. This episode, from 8 p.m. Sunday, April 9, 1954, is titled Easter Egg Die. Let's join Eve Arden along with Richard Crenna, Gil Gordon, Jeff Chandler, and Jane Morgan as we laugh along with them in this hilarious episode.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, many of us like to share Easter breakfast with our friends. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, looked forward all week to sharing hers with several of her students and some of the faculty.
Some of the faculty being biology teacher Philip Boynton. Yes, Mr. Boynton is enough of the faculty for me. At least I hope he's for me. I know I'm for him. So much for the world of sports. Saturday afternoon found me making arrangements for the big day in my landlady's kitchen.
You certainly look domestic bustling around that stove, Connie. Tell me, what was it you just plopped into that pot of boiling water?
My thumb, Mrs. Davis. Oh, you mean the white thing. That was an egg. They've got to get nice and hard before we can dye them. By the way, I saw Harriet Conklin helping you with our Easter baskets before. Where did our beloved principal's daughter disappear to?
I sent her to the grocery store for some more eggs and some dye. We were running short. Harriet is certainly a sweet little girl.
Yes, she is. Just goes to show you how little there is to heredity. Let's see those Easter baskets again. Plenty of straw, jelly beans, little yellow chicks. There's just one more thing I'd like to see in each one.
What's that, Connie?
A chocolate bunny with $1,000 bill in his mouth.
I'm afraid that's asking a little too much.
All right, then. I'll settle for a wax bunny.
I'm back, Mrs. Davis. Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Harriet. Did you get the stuff?
Yes, ma'am. Here's the dye, and I got a couple of dozen eggs.
Good. Let's put some more of these in to boil.
I'll do it. What's the schedule for tomorrow, Miss Brooks? When do you want us to come for breakfast?
Oh, about 10 o'clock will be fine, Harriet. Then we'll all be on time for the Easter parade.
I'll bet you'll look stunning, Miss Brooks. What kind of an outfit are you wearing this year?
Well, in some ways, it's quite similar to the outfit I wore last Easter.
How do you mean, Miss Brooks?
Same hat, coat, dress, and shoes. I did invest in something new, though. A gossard narrow-line girdle.
Does this really make you look narrow, Connie?
Narrow? When I stand sideways, you can't see me at all. I like to think.
Oh, that reminds me. I'd better get over to the cleaners and pick up Daddy's Easter outfit. You know how meticulous he is when he appears in public.
He's not only meticulous, he's impeccable.
He's not only impeccable, he's impossible. I mean impatient. So you better run along now, Harriet.
Okay, Miss Brooks. See you tomorrow. Bye, Mrs. Davis.
Goodbye, dear, and thanks for the help. Now, you'll probably want to wash up after you mix that dye, Connie, so I'll get some clean towels for the pantry sink.
Thanks, Mrs. Davis. Da da dum dee 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 dee. Come on in. The door's open.
It is I, Miss Brooks, your own personal Easter bunny.
At last. Just drop the $1,000 bills in the basket. Oh, it's Walter Denton.
Tell me that I'm in time, Miss Brooks. Tell me that you didn't dye your eggs yet.
You're in time, Walter. I didn't dye my eggs yet.
Thank goodness. Miss Brooks, just before the holidays, I hit on a new dye in the chem lab at school. It's absolutely sensational.
A new dye?
Yes, ma'am. That's why I'm so glad you didn't color your eggs yet. I want you to do it with my stuff. It's absolutely dynamite.
Walter, I just want the Easter eggs to look pretty, not blow up.
Miss Brooks, will you get a load of this stuff? It'll revolutionize the egg dyeing industry. I'll make millions out of this. Billions. And you, Miss Brooks, will get my everlasting gratefulness.
That's my usual cut.
I call this magic dye Tint Tomorrow.
Tint Tomorrow?
Yeah, I took the two words, tint and tomorrow, and made a word marriage out of it.
Well, I hope they'll be very happy together. Just how does this stuff work, Walter?
Well, it's a powder, Miss Brooks, but a delayed action powder. In other words, when you dye an egg with tint tomorrow, no color change takes place at all today.
It doesn't?
Naturally not. It changes its tint
tomorrow.
You see, that's why I
call it
tint
tomorrow. Well, that was fun. What'll we do now?
I brought over these sample eggs that I dyed yesterday, Miss Brooks. Look, red, blue, green, purple. Aren't they beautiful?
They are nice, Walter. Very brilliant. Is this invention of yours easy to apply?
Well, easier than that old-fashioned stuff. These two bags will dye 12 eggs each. And now, look, I've got to get downtown on an errand for my folks, so I'll just leave these four extra bags by your pantry sink on my way out.
Well, I'll certainly be happy to try it, Walter.
Remember, Miss Brooks, I haven't got this invention patented yet, so you mustn't breathe a word about it. In fact, I must insist on an oath of secrecy.
Walter, I won't even tell the eggs.
Here are the clean towels, Connie. I'd have come back sooner, but I was on the phone with Mrs. Conklin. She's got a problem, poor dear.
I know. I work for him.
Oh, I don't mean Mr. Conklin. She's worried about parading in the sun tomorrow morning. She says she gets a lot of freckles that way.
Oh, that's as good a way as any. What did you recommend?
Some of this remarkable face cream I got at the beauty parlor last week. It's called Freckle Off.
Freckle Off? This is a big day for me. First tint tomorrow, then Freckle Off. Tint tomorrow and Freckle Off. Sounds like a Polish piano team.
Let me rub a little on your chin, dear.
Oh, but Mrs. Davis, I...
It'll do you a world of good. Just this one little dab. There.
I was about to tell you that I don't have any freckles on my chin.
I can see that. But isn't it comforting to know that now you'll never have any?
It's a security I never dreamt of. Mrs. Davis, would you mind taking these baskets into the living room? I've still got some work to do in here.
Certainly, dear. Oh, look who's coming down the driveway, Connie. It's one of your pupils, Stretch Snodgrass.
Oh, you mean the brain?
The brain? Why do you call him that?
I keep hoping that if I just say the word often enough, he'll grow one. I'm in the kitchen, Stretch.
I'll go finish decorating the living room, Connie.
All right, Mrs. Davis.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Stretch.
Well, the reason I come over, Miss Brooks, is I brung you something.
Stretch, you brought me something.
You seen it through the window, huh?
No, Stretch, I saw it through the window.
Oh, then you know what it is I brang.
I brang?
Well, that's the past participian of has brung.
Oh, I forgot. What sort of thing did you bring? A thing. Let's see it.
It's right in this basket. See? A rabbit.
But it's a real one. Is he alive?
Oh, of course not. I brought him over from my father's pet shop. He's been preserved.
You mean you mounted it?
No, I rode him over on my bicycle.
But, Stretch, what am I supposed to do with a stuffed rabbit?
Oh, I thought he'd make a nice centerpiece for your table tomorrow morning.
Oh.
If I say so myself, this is quite a good example of taxi...
You never can get one when it's raining. Well, thanks for the rabbit, Stretch. It was very sweet of you to bring it. But before you go, what's that big smudge on your face?
Oh, that's from falling off my bike, I guess. I took a shortcut through the meadow.
Well, there's a sink in the pantry. You can wash in there. Here, take these towels in with you.
Towels? Ain't you got no shower curtain?
We use towels here. It's a new fad. And Stretch, if the soap dispenser's empty, you'll find some powder to fill it with in the cupboard.
Okay, Miss Brooks.
I've got to carry these empty egg boxes out to the incinerator, Stretch. See you later.
Nice little pantry. Now, I guess this thing is the soap dispenser, all right. Let's see now. Where's the powder I'm supposed to fill it with? Oh, it must be in these four little bags. It says, Tin Tomorrow. Well, that's a funny name for a soap powder. Well, I'll just dump them all in the dispenser. Now, I'll fill the sink with enough water to wash up with. That ought to do it.
The front part of the house is all set, Connie. Everything back here all right?
Everything but me, Mrs. Davis. I've got the strangest burning sensation around my chin.
Oh, that's where I applied the freckle off. It says on the bottle that if yours is the type of skin that burns easily, you should wash the cream off with soap and water.
Now she tells me. I'll use the sink in the pantry.
I'm all finished, Miss Brooks. Here's your towels back. I didn't need them.
Didn't need them? But you washed, didn't you?
Well, what's the sense of wearing a long sleeve shirt if you don't use the sleeves?
A well taken point. Now, if you'll excuse me, Stretch, I've got to stop this stinging on my chin some way. I got some smudges out by that incinerator, too. I might as well do a complete wash job. Here goes.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, if my face was as pretty as yours, I'd never wash it. Boy, I'll bet you're going to be the swellest lady in the Easter parade.
Oh, I don't care about that, Stretch. All I want to do is brighten the little corner where I am.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. No other dentifrice offers proof of such results. Proof that Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. 2 years' research at leading universities using Colgate Dental Cream, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice history on tooth decay. Conclusive proof that when teeth are brushed with Colgate's right after eating, Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Yes, the toothpaste you use to clean your breath while you clean your teeth now offers a safe, proved way to reduce tooth decay. Modern science shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate's is directed. Helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Colgate Dental Cream has been proved to contain all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care. Get Colgate Dental Cream today. Big economy size, only 59 cents. Always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay before it starts. Remember, no other dentifrice offers proof of such results. Well, even if Stretch Snodgrass isn't the most brilliant person in the world, Miss Brooks, who has also washed her face in Walter's dye, might easily attain that title. However, since the dye, which is still in the dispenser, requires hours of exposure before it works, Miss Brooks didn't know on Saturday afternoon what a colorful Easter she was facing.
Will you answer the doorbell, Connie? I'm just getting out of the tub.
All right, Mrs. Davis, I'll get it. Well, Mr. Conklin.
Hello, Miss Brooks.
To what fortuitous circumstance do we owe the pleasure of this visit from Madison's distinguished principal?
This is Saturday, Miss Brooks. You can cut down on the apple polishing. May I come in?
Of course.
Now then, as to the purpose of my visit, with your permission, I'll come right to the point.
Permission granted.
Thank you. As you know, the Easter parade tomorrow will be covered thoroughly by the press photographers.
Yes, I know. The photographers will greet us, and we'll find ourselves in the road to gravure.
Very catchy. In the past, I've always been quite careful about which profile to present to the camera when I'm having my picture taken. But in the parade, one never knows on which side a photographer will pop up.
And when they look you over, you will be in clover.
Oh, stop that. The reason I'm here, Miss Brooks, is because of this large, ugly freckle on my right cheek. I've always resented this freckle, Miss Brooks. It's the only blemish on an otherwise perfectly chiseled set of features.
Oh, you shouldn't be so self-conscious about it, Mr. Conklin. I've never thought of that as a large, ugly freckle. I always thought it was a dimple.
A dimple? Well.
Yes, indeed. Many's the time I've looked at you and thought, what a large, ugly dimple.
Such honesty deserves a reward, and I'll see that you get it in the school weeks to follow. Right now, I'd like to inquire about a cosmetic that my wife mentioned. She said Mrs. Davis told her about it. It's called Freckle Off, I believe.
Oh, yes, that's it, Mr. Conklin. But sometimes it... Say, that would be just the thing for you.
Oh, hello, Osgood.
Hello, Margaret.
Mr. Conklin was wondering if he could borrow some of your freckle-off cream, Mrs. Davis.
What for?
For his freckle.
What freckle?
This large, ugly freckle beneath my right ear.
Oh, that. I always thought that was a beauty mark.
A beauty mark? Well.
Yes, many the times I've thought to myself, what a large, ugly beauty mark. But I've got a jar of the cream right here on this table, Osgood. You're welcome to try it.
Here, let me dab it on for you, Mr. Conklin. There we are.
Say, this stuff burns. Ouch! It's hot. It's
well,
hot.
You wanted to remove the freckle, don't you?
Yes, but I'd like it to leave the face.
Why? I mean, if it burns too badly, you can wash it off with soap and water. Just follow me, Mr. Conklin.
Well, hurry up. This is awful.
There's a sink right out here in the pantry. I'll fill the basin for you. You'll find soap in the dispenser above the sink. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Conklin. There's somebody at the front door.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. My car broke down a few blocks from here. I wondered if I could use your phone to call the garage.
Of course, Mr. Boynton. Come in.
I was driving along, not a care in the world, when suddenly, boom, the transmission, the crankcase, and the drive shaft fell out.
Anything serious?
Say, it is. The car won't go at all until the...
I've been running along now, Miss Brooks. Oh, hello, Boynton.
Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin. What brings you to this part of the town?
It's a long and harrowing tale, Boynton. But briefly, your friend Miss Brooks almost burned half of my face off with some alleged freckle remover.
What did you want with freckle remover, Mr. Conklin?
Well, I thought it could remove this large, ugly freckle beneath my right ear.
You're right. Well, I always thought that was just a mole.
A mole?
Well, yes, sir. Many's the time I've thought to myself, what a large, ugly...
Oh, be quiet! Good day to you both.
Oh, Miss Brooks, before I use the phone, I'd like to wash some of the grease off my hands and face. I got pretty dirty tinkering around with the car.
Why, I didn't even notice it, Mr. Boynton. But if you'll just follow me, you can use the sink in our pantry. There's plenty of soap in that dispenser between the taps. Just help yourself.
Oh, thanks.
This ought to do the trick.
We're going to have our Easter breakfast tomorrow about 10 o'clock, Mr. Boynton. Will that be all right for you?
Easter breakfast? Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. That's the reason I drove over, to tell you I can't make it tomorrow.
Can't make it? Why not?
Well, I got a wire from my folks this morning. They're visiting friends at Eagle Springs, and they asked me to join them. It's only 40 miles from here, and I thought I'd drive up in the morning. Of course, that's out of the question now. It'll take days to fix that car of mine.
Good.
But I can catch an early train. Now, tell you what, maybe you can borrow Mrs. Davis's car, and you could drive me to the station in the morning.
What have I done to earn such a bonus?
For those of us who arose on time, the Easter Sunday sunrise was an awe-inspiring sight. And in Walter Denton's house, where his pal Stretch Snodgrass has had permission to spend the night, is another awe-inspiring sight. Stretch Snodgrass.
Walter. Hey, Walter, are you up?
Yeah, I'm up. Let's get dressed and...
Ah! What's wrong with you?
Oh, nothing's wrong with me. It's you. Your face looks like an Easter egg.
Easter egg? What makes you say a thing like that?
Because you're all purple. Your whole face.
Oh, what's so funny? Maybe I got high blood pressure.
Sure like to use some of that delayed action dye of mine.
Dye?
Yeah, I've been keeping it a secret. I call it tint tomorrow because the color doesn't show up until the next day.
Tint tomorrow? I thought that was soap powder. I filled the dispenser at Mrs. Davis's with it.
Yeah, well, I... What? Oh, gosh. I better get over there and warn Mrs. Davis before anybody else uses it.
Well, wait a minute. What about me? How do I get this purple stuff off?
Oh, quit worrying. I'll invent some way to get rid of it. And even if I don't...
Yeah?
I can always dye you another color. So you see, Mrs. Davis, Stretch filled the dispenser with the dye, and anybody that washed there is in for a shock today. Gee, I'm glad you didn't get any on you.
Me too. And I hope Connie didn't use it. She's going to take Mr. Boynton to the train this morning. She should be coming in for coffee any minute now.
Gosh, I hope everything's
I've just got time for a quick cup of coffee. Oh, hello, Walter.
Hello, Bill!
What's the trouble?
Nothing, dear. You... just startled us when you came in so suddenly.
Oh. I'll get myself a cup and saucer out of the sideboard.
Look at her, Mrs. Davis. Her face is all green.
I know, but just don't blurt it out at her. We'll break it to her gently. Just keep drinking your milk.
Say, it's after 8. I'd better drink this coffee in a hurry. Mr. Boynton's making a 9:15 train.
Where's he going?
He's going to spend the day at Eagle Springs with his parents. And I don't mind telling you, I'm green with envy.
Walter, control yourself. I'll get a dish rag. And... Oh, will you get that, please, Connie?
All right. Hello, Miss Brooks speaking.
Miss Brooks, this is Mr. Conklin.
Oh, happy Easter, Mr. Conklin. I guess you're getting all dolled up.
Cut the gab. Just answer one question, Miss Brooks. What sort of dye was in that witch's brew you smeared on my face?
Witch's brew? Which witch's brew?
You're knowing very well which witch's brew. That freckle-removing junk you put on me.
But there's no dye in that.
Well, there must have been. You should see my face this morning.
You mean it's a different color?
Different color? Miss Brooks, I'm plaid. Thanks to you and your quack remedies, I look like an Italian sunset.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Conklin. I didn't have any knowledge of any
dye.
You
never have any knowledge of anything. Now, hang up. I'm going to call my doctor and get to the bottom of this gook. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, what do you know about that, Walter? Mr. Conklin's face has turned all colors of the rainbow.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Brooks. I must have been thinking of something comical. I better join Mrs. Davis in the dish rag in the kitchen. Mrs. Davis, that was Mr. Conklin on the phone. He just turned plaid.
This is terrible, Walter. How are we going to get this dye off the people who washed here yesterday?
Well, I stopped at the drugstore on my way over, and Mr. Miller, the pharmacist, said he'd try and figure something out in a hurry.
Well, that's at least some hope. Now, maybe it won't be such a shock when you tell Connie her face is green.
Me? I think I better go home, Mrs. Davis.
What's the matter, Walter? Don't you feel well?
I feel like she looks. But I guess the only manly thing to do is face the music.
Come on, I'll help you break it to her in a roundabout way. Oh, Connie, about that green face of yours. Connie. Connie. Oh, she must have left while we were in the kitchen. Oh, good heavens. What will Mr. Boynton think when he sees her?
Who knows? It may be a break for her. He's always been crazy about frogs.
Coming.
Good morning, Mr. Mr. Boynton, what happened to your face? It's blue.
Yes, isn't it awful? I noticed it when I went in to shave this morning. When did you notice your face was green?
Huh?
It's not really a bad shade of green.
My face?
Well, here, stand in front of this mirror.
Oh,
calm yourself, Miss Brooks. I kind of like it. Reminds me of my pet frog, McDougal.
Thanks a million. How did I get this on me?
Well, Walter Denton phoned me a few minutes ago and explained the whole thing. His pal Stretch put some of Walter's delayed dye into the soap dispenser in your pantry yesterday.
You mean the tint tomorrow really worked?
I'll say it did. It won't come off with soap and water or even turpentine. I've tried several times.
Wait till I get hold of that Stretch Snodgrass.
Well, I'm in a worse spot than you are, Miss Brooks. I've had to cancel my trip to Eagle Springs.
Good old Stretch Snodgrass. But if you're not going away today, how about coming over to my place?
Oh, no. I wouldn't budge out of this apartment with this blue face, Miss Brooks. No, I'm just going to have to stay in until it fades. I guess it's an imposition to ask, but, well, I thought maybe I could fix up a little lunch here and play some records to dance to, and, well, if it isn't asking too much, would you care to stay here and keep me company?
I'll force myself.
Oh, good. I'll go into the kitchen and see about rustling up some grub. Just make yourself comfortable.
Oh, don't worry about green face, blue face. I'll be fine. I'll get it.
Don't slug me, Miss Brooks. Everything's going to be fine.
You're so right, Walter. Goodbye.
No, wait.
Mr. Boynton told me on the phone about canceling his trip, but now he won't have to.
Not so loud. What do you mean, Walter?
Well, Mr. Miller, the pharmacist, came up with these pills. You just dissolve them in warm water, and it washes the dye off like magic.
No, it does it? Hand them over, Walter. I'll take them in.
Okay, Miss Brooks. I'm sorry for what Stretch did. Well, I imagine I'll see you later on.
Far be it from me to knock a boy's imagination. Goodbye, Walter.
I'm just putting on a timely recording, Miss Brooks. You care to dance, Miss Brooks?
Mm-hmm.
Am I holding you too tight?
Uh-uh.
Mind if I hum in your ear?
Uh-uh.
I'll be all in clover when they look you over. Oh, by the way, who was that at the door just now?
The door?
Oh, yeah, the bell rang as I went into the kitchen. Who was it?
Nobody we know. Happy Easter, Mr. Boynton.
Eve Arden returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful, luster queen girl.
Tonight, and now once again, here is Eve Arden.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of our sponsor, the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, and all of us here at the studio, may I extend our warmest Easter greetings.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis with Lester White and Joe Quillen, with the music of Wilbur Hatch under the direction of Maurice Carlton. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, and Leonard Smith. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Such great comedy and a good way to warm up for the Easter season. You were listening to Easter Egg Die by Our Miss Brooks, which first aired on CBS on Sunday, April 9th, 1954. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, so I will bring you two more great Easter-themed radio classics to help you celebrate that special day. That's all the time we have for today, folks, but before I sign off, I'll give you my contact information. You may email me at corey.walker@telus.net, phone CFIS Radio at 250-563-2347, or write to CFIS FM, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, BC, Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS FM studios in Prince George, BC, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.